This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Raph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project.
All right, these are seven fitness influencers that you absolutely must learn from. Now, I'm going to direct this one at you fitness professionals out there and fitness entrepreneurs, but even if you're just interested in fitness, if you're watching this and you're not in the fitness industry, it doesn't matter. These are people that you should definitely learn from. And in fact, maybe their stories will even inspire you to join the fitness industry. So the beautiful thing about these people, Raph, is we have met all of them. Some of them not in person, but then some of them online. So we've had a fantastic time with all of them. The first person we've got up here is this person, I think, has had quite a different journey, probably one he didn't expect to have, and that is Marcus Filli. So Marcus Filli, for those of you who don't know, was a semi-professional soccer player in America, transitioned into one of the best CrossFit Games athletes. When I say best, he competed in the teams, yeah. Then he competed individually. He pioneered or helped pioneer the OPEC style programming, which for a long time, for those of you OGs in CrossFit, would know that it was one of the first and most popular individualized programs. So he kind of led the way there with some different training methods. And then he actually pioneered his own style of training, functional bodybuilding, which he's probably most famous for now. And Marcus has been, I guess, an inspiration from an athletic standpoint, but then also making the rare, but exciting transition to becoming an entrepreneur and quite a successful one. He did run CrossFit gyms, of course, for a long time. One, maybe two CrossFit gyms, I think he had for a while.
Yeah, I think he's had a couple, you know. Okay. And we were lucky enough to actually go visit one,
yep,
hang out with him at his gym, see the training methodologies, you know, in person, which is cool. See how incredible his rig is in person.
Incredible.
Which holds up to the YouTube videos. But I think, you know, every one of these seven, including Marcus, they are unique because they actually bring something of their own to their material. You know, it's not just regurgitated material, which is, yeah, obviously most fitness influencers out there. And he, I think he's just one of the best in terms of, like, he obviously brings up a lot of unique training exercises himself, mm, like incredible libraries that everybody uses. But he's brought a unique spin to that person that, like, wants to do functional training, wants to do CrossFit style training, but realizes just, like, straight out and out CrossFit is probably not a good thing for them long term, particularly if they want to look good, feel good long term.
Yeah, I think one of the benefits of learning from Marcus is that he does come from a wide variety of training. So the one thing about functional bodybuilding is you actually do very few bodybuilding, traditional bodybuilding movements. So you will do biceps, but you'll do it in a way that it's like, okay, maybe we're going to do like an inverted ring row, yeah, or maybe we're going to do some kind of like pull-up variation with straps. And so he has this arsenal of all these different movements, which almost no trainers out there have an arsenal that big, and he's applying them in the bodybuilding context. So really what he's doing is he's using all these different movements most people wouldn't get exposed to, and he's applying them in what everyone wants, which is to look really good. And like, yeah, people want to perform better, right? People want to be better at CrossFit. They want to run faster. They want to jump higher. They want to be stronger. But what most people really want is they don't want all those things and to look fat,
yeah,
or to look skinny, right?
They want backwards in that department.
Right, they want to look, they want to look really, really good, and then they want those things. Mm. And so he really ticks the box of like, I understand you want to look like a bodybuilder, or you want to look like a cover model, you want to look really good, but you also just don't want to do boring bodybuilding exercises. Like, yeah, we can get there just doing dumbbell bench press, just doing cable flies, but I understand you want to do something more exciting. You may want to throw in a power clean, right? You may want to throw in some gymnastics movements. You may want to throw in just some cool kettlebell flows and still achieve those goals. So he helps to bring those worlds together. So he really keeps aesthetics at the forefront of the goal, and he has like no shame about it. It's like, you can totally, because you know, there's always that stigma around CrossFitters, which is like, yeah, well, like I'm training for performance, bro. And it's like, not about how big my chest is or my arms are. It's like, that's great. But most people want to look fantastic, and he realizes that. He has no shame about it, and he makes it really fun, right? He gives you exciting exercises, and he keeps the programming interesting. That's why he's obviously gotten so big on Instagram.
Yeah. Next person we've got is knees over toes guy, Ben Patrick. And when we've known about him for years, you know, obviously I think before he got massively popular and a lot of people have tried out his stuff. It's not just for people that have knee issues, but it is awesome for people that have knee issues. I've had long-term knee issues, knee surgeries. Lockie's had long-term knee problems. So this is one we couldn't leave off the list. We've used all his stuff. We've given it to clients as well. And same thing, it's just something really unique. And what he's done is he's taken exercises that, yeah, we've heard of all of them before if you've been around the game for a while, but he's just packaged it up in like some beautiful progressions that you can actually get excited about doing when it's really hard to get excited about most rehab programs. You know, I've never seen someone put together something that people were so enthusiastic to get into, and it was to get a body part healthy from an injury before.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I'm probably most excited to share about that's to do with Ben is that he actually gave us his program for free. One thing that you can't go past with Ben is that he genuinely is out there to help people.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously everyone says that, but I believe it. He puts that above making money. I feel like if he didn't make, you know, if he made a tenth of the money he's making now with all his popularity, wouldn't matter as much to him. As long as he's helping people overcome their knee pain, he really is pioneering and being authentic from that side of things. So for Ben, when he passed on the program for me, he didn't want anything in return. He was just like, look, if you get value from it, if it helps your knees, because I had knee issues at the time, he was like, that's great. And if you want to pass it on to people, that's great. There's no issue with that. I don't mind you sharing it. And this is easily something he could have charged me for. He could have said, hey, dude, I'll give you a 50% discount, right? Yeah. I'll do this for you, but maybe, you know, give me a shout out on the podcast. He didn't want any of that. And this was when he was small, right? This is when he like really needed more attention, but he just believes in what he was doing. He loves what he's doing. He's happy to give it away for free as a thank you for bringing him on our show. And yeah, he provided a ton of value for our audience. I will say as well, the one thing that he has done so well when it comes to the rehab space, which I think if anyone's in the rehab space, they should really copy him, is he brought on like a lot of, they're not necessarily, guys like him, but they're not necessarily amazing ex-professional athletes, but they are quite good athletes that have had serious injuries. And I think there's a big market for that, right? Huge. People that were like really good at their sport. They weren't professional or semi-professional, never got paid for it. But, you know, they were like some of the best athletes. And they're often the people that are just as injured as the pro athletes because they trained, you know, 50 to 70% of the training volume as a pro. They were really trying to push it and a serious injury got in the way. And most people would have said, you know, if he hadn't had a serious injury, he would have gone like pretty far in the sport. There's so many people out there like that. And I think when he shows that, hey, I was that person and now I can actually dunk, right? I can actually play basketball well. You've got that connection to the sport. People think, oh, I respect this guy. Like, yeah, there's heaps of physios and chiros out there that give great rehab advice, but they don't show its application to sport and they're not really athletes themselves, most of them. And so there's just that disconnect. So that relatability, his impressive sports performance, he can play ball pretty well, he can dunk. Yeah. I think it ties it all together really nicely.
Yeah, and if you ever like train clients or you have any sort of actual involvement in the fitness industry, it's a wealth of knowledge that you can apply to your clients. And typically clients love it. It's something they haven't seen before and they can get good results from it.
It makes you feel really good as well. I've completed the program and you do feel really strong. You feel like you're taking your body through like really good ranges of motion that it normally doesn't. And so it's a fantastic program. Mm. So next person on the list we've got here is Eugene Teo. Eugene Teo, we've met in person multiple times as a Victorian. He's obviously not far from us, less than 2 hours on a plane ride. And yeah, we've had him in person three times, I think, two or three times for interviews. Obviously with the lockdowns and stuff, it became a bit more difficult. We've had him on the show other times before. But what I love about Eugene is I think he's just the modern bodybuilder's best friend, right? He couples evidence-based science with training, and he also loops in a bit of that weird and interesting stuff that keeps people thinking, okay, I want someone who's kind of pushing the forefront of what's different in body. I don't just want 3 sets of 10 with 3 seconds down, 1 second pause. Give me something else, right? Give me something, give me new angles, give me new exercises, somewhat functional bodybuilding, but I would say just with traditional bodybuilding exercises. So he's kind of taken all your traditional bodybuilding exercises, which people love, but he's added a twist to it. And he said, well, actually, rather than have your hand rotated in this position, let's use a kettlebell and let's rotate your hand in this position. And that's actually going to activate more pec. And I was like, well, that's actually really cool. Because I don't want to do the functional stuff like Marcus, but I'm kind of bored with the bodybuilding stuff. So it keeps it very interesting from that perspective.
Yeah, it's like a unique content that really into it bodybuilders will enjoy. And even like non-really into it bodybuilders that just want to like get bigger and do that type of training still love it as well. And he somehow is able to bridge that gap, I think, because of the unique spin he brings to it, which is like, yeah, it's like a little bit of functional stuff in there, but it's also like, hey, this is still potentially the best possible exercise you could do if you're just trying to get big and jacked at the same time with like an overarching, hey, don't hurt yourself in the gym mentality as well that can be lacking in some of that content out there. You know, he's still got all the biomechanics, all the type of stuff right in there, but also just like, hey, this is going to be fun and we're going to kill ourselves in the gym type of mentality. So the quality of his info and the video info is like top notch, particularly now he's got that gym in Melbourne where he records all his content out
there.
His own home gym. So he like records sick videos that we use in gyms as well for just like video demonstrations and stuff like that. But a wealth of knowledge on exercise and on like nutrition and outside stuff as well.
I think you know he's good as well because so many people within the industry, within the bodybuilding industry, respect him. Right? They want to spend time with him. They want to learn from him. He wants to learn from them. So by absorbing his content, you're also absorbing content from many other great thought leaders within the space who he spends time with. So obviously he's got original information, but then he's also synthesizing all the other really good information that's out there. So definitely, if you haven't yet, check him out on YouTube and also check him out on Instagram. Puts all his content up there. And he has an app as well, right? You use the training app?
Yes. I use the training app. It's a Ganbara method. Some weird name. It's typical for his style.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if you find his website, you'll find it. And yes, good programs.
Yeah.
The next person we've got is Stuart McGill. So I don't know how many years ago we had him on the first time. We had him on, we were like pretty hardcore into CrossFit and doing some like pretty tough training that was tough on our backs. And we found him because similar, he was like the number one respected person when it came to back training. And that reputation has only grown since then. We've had him on again since then. And this is the type of person that will just give you, he won't give you like the, oh, you injured your back, never train again.
No.
He'll give you like, yeah, you can get back to your training, but you need to take this process very seriously, right? Because he sees all the back surgeries, all the people in his practice for so long that really ruined their lives with back injuries. And what I like is that it's just quite contrarian. Like, you know, his one that he gave us on the show, he told us, was like, hey, 95% of back surgeries are unnecessary. Yeah. You know, I never forgot that. That's unbelievable when you think about it, right? All those back surgeries, like, it's almost like a life-threatening procedure, right? You're doing, like, anesthetic, like, it's serious. And he's like, man, most of this stuff does not need to happen. And he's saying that from a point of view where, like, the top experts in that field respect him. So I can't go past him when it comes to injuries and anything to do with the spine.
Yeah, one thing that I took away from our conversations with Stuart is that he did really send a warning to us without directly telling us what to do, because you can never tell anyone what to do. But he definitely planted the seed in my mind that lifting a heavy bar through your spine, so back squats, front squats, you know, overhead squats, deadlifts, anything with a straight bar, really anything that gets really heavy, he just really made me consider, is this necessary? And that's a very hard thing to tell someone who's young, enthusiastic, and is in a sport and obviously wants to perform well at the sport, right? It's very hard to hear those lessons. But if you're paying attention, you will know that, you know, as soon as you come to finishing your sport and maybe you don't have the strict performance deadlines, there isn't really a need to pursue some really, really heavy training, you know, outside of the fact that you just love it and it obviously is a big part of maybe what you do and your identity and it brings you happiness and joy. That's always hard to argue and take that away from anyone. But if you're doing it because you think you need to do it, because it's just an essential part of training and it's important to be strong and it's important to have a lot of muscle, he's just really considering, hey, your back's actually more important than you think. And it's just because you're young, right? You just have youth on your side. You just haven't done enough reps yet. You haven't worn it out enough yet to be like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And I can tell you what, with a lot of back issues in the past, I know you've had some back issues as well. I've had some disc issues. One came about when, you know, squatting too heavy, got on a long plane flight, tried to pick up the numbers where I left off, not enough sleep, dehydrated, long haul flight, did it again, and then pop, you know. So, and it happens all the time. And, you know, unfortunately, it does happen with clients every now and then, even when they're not loading up heavy, right?
Yeah.
And you just know your back is just, it's, you got to be so careful with it, right? You only get one spine. So you got to look after it. You don't want to start fusing discs. You don't want to start having surgeries. You don't want injections. So it is that one part of the body that we need to spend a little bit of extra time, a little bit of extra love and care to make sure it stays healthy.
Yeah, like if your back is regularly hurting and you're lifting and you're kind of like working through it, he will seriously make you reconsider that.
Not worth
it. And he makes you reconsider it in a way that no one has ever made me reconsider it before. Or if I hear someone like, oh, my back's hurting, but you kind of work through it after a few sets. Once you dive into his content, you're like, that sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing that.
You generally just should, as a rule, not have any back pain.
That's the ideal, right? Yeah. And as long as it takes, you know, it's only takes 6-9 months to really longer. Get it better.
Yes.
And it's just worth doing.
Yeah. So next person we got here is Brett Contreras, better known as the glute guy. Started off in your world, was just the glute guy. And I don't even think people knew his name. Very niche community, very small. And then something like Instagram came along and booty training became exceedingly popular. And he really pioneered that because it wasn't like, hey, here's this trend, let me jump on the trend and help you guys. It was like, no, actually, I was here mastering a PhD in glute science for 10 years before Instagram came. So I'm actually the expert. And it just kind of came together really nicely. He was able to market really well, obviously, because he has good evidence base and he's focused on the glutes. He got lots of really good results, like incredible transformations. And he's just remained at the top when it comes to, I think, just training in general. Of course, he's known for glute training and he's known for having, you know, all kinds of athletes and women and bikini models on his Instagram. But I think what he has really solidified himself as is just a no bullshit guy.
Mm.
So anytime he comes on his content, his social media and his channels, other interviews, even with us, he just has no issues with telling exactly how he sees it. He's not looking to not offend people. He's just giving the truth as how he sees it. And I think that Brett's truth is, you know, a pretty objective truth.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. And I think he's definitely top notch when it comes to women's training, right? Because he specialized. And what you said, he was a serious right time, right place guy.
Mm.
Like, he was doing the glute training. He didn't start the trend, but the trend took off, right? And he was the one already putting in years on that trend before it took off. And just a testament to the character, to his character. I remember that. He has like his own glute equipment, right? That he brings out. And I remember, like, it was like maybe 6 months after our show, I emailed back and I was like, oh, there's this new glute piece of equipment. I think you make it. Like, we were thinking of buying it for our gym. And he emailed back. He's like, man, that's not the one I make. It's a bit more expensive than my one. But you know what? It's just as good. Buy whatever you want.
Mm.
He wasn't trying to like sell his own thing. He was just like genuinely like, nah, man, that's like, it's just as good as what I've got. And he went up in my books a lot from that. So, man, I think all his stuff is really good. And yeah, particularly female training, because they just get around his content so well.
Yeah, one of the best points you can start with him, he's got a book.
Yeah.
Can't remember what the book is called. Maybe Connor can pull it up, but it's something to do with glute science or glute training. One thing you'll learn from that book and from the information in that book is it's not just about glute size and glute strength, but it's also about hip function.
Glute Lab by Brett Contreras.
There you go, the Glute Lab. Mm. So yeah, one thing's important for you to understand when it comes to glute training is the function of the glutes as well and how it keeps the hips healthy, how it keeps the back healthy, and how it relates to sports performance. I believe he was studying his PhD on the hip thrust and how it related to, I think, maximal speed or force when it came to athletic performance, sprinting or jumping. And so because he pioneered a lot of that work and that's where he's very interested, it's not just about getting the biggest booty possible. It's actually also about how can increasing glute strength and power translate over into other things. So some of the best information I think Brett puts out there as well is also on sports performance and how glute training relates to that. The second aspect of his training that I think is also really good is he takes basically what has been an industry full of, you know, myths and bullshit, which is everything around booty training, from like banded walks to single leg exercises to all this stuff, right? Because it became the most popular body part on Instagram very quickly, a lot of training appeared around increasing that body part size and how it looks and its aesthetic. And a lot of it's wrong.
Mm.
Like I'd say like 95% of the information out there is wrong. The exercises aren't necessarily bad, but how people explain it, how people demonstrate the technique, how people explain why you need this exercise and how it relates to whatever, glute strength or size, it's all wrong. And he's been the best person to kind of help you cut through that noise, which is why he's been so popular, because it's like everyone wants a big booty, but everyone's doing the wrong, everyone's getting the wrong information and everyone's doing the wrong exercises and the wrong reps. And he's just been the guy's like, look, just do it like this, cut that out, and you're going to get the result. And the evidence speaks for itself.
And you know what, as well, here's one that I think some people just judge the book by its cover. So they first look at it like, oh, it's just for like girls that want to get a big bum. And it's like really not the case. That's just how he promotes it, to obviously get eyeballs into his content. As soon as you like dive deeper into, you know, our interviews with him, or you speak to him for a bit longer, or you get into the book, it's like, oh no, here's all the science, here's the PhD, here's the biomechanics, and that's just the stuff that like he puts on his stories.
Yeah,
you know, that gets eyeballs.
I will say as well, sorry to cut you off, I will say as well, he's probably the one of the few guests that we've only interviewed on Zoom that it felt like we interviewed him in person. A Zoom interview is very different, or an online interview is very different to an in-person interview. But for some reason, we were able to create that connection, that rapport with him, and it went extremely well. So next on the list, we've got Eric Helms.
Yeah, Eric is, man, he's a tried and true evidence-based guy, right? He's one of the boys when it comes to the evidence-based scene. That's how we became familiar with him. He's also in the Southern Hemisphere, so we're a little bit closer.
Mm.
And we've had some really good chats. And I think it's just, it's just a talent he's got of taking the evidence-based stuff that obviously it's great, but it sometimes goes over people's heads. And he's able to just dumb it down and just make it accessible for most people.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric is, he's got a podcast with Omar, and I can't remember what I think it's called the Iron Culture podcast. Mm. It's very distinct sense of humor that they have. But I think that comes across really well when it comes to the particular topics he speaks about. There's a lot of sarcasm around those things. So if you enjoy that kind of sarcastic, make fun of the industry humor, he ties it in really nicely with how he presents his content. And I do think it's important when you are talking about some of the more drier subjects around training that you are able to make them fun, make them more interesting, have a bit of a laugh about it. And that information is what helps people digest it, right? And helps solidify that information. He's also extremely... successful in natural bodybuilding,
which we have a lot
of respect for. Like, he gets extremely lean,
yeah,
like ridiculously lean for a natural. And I think that that also, you know, is a testament with all the, you know, because one thing about cutting for a show or prepping for a show is it takes a lot of time and energy. There's also a guy that's pouring a lot of time and energy into research, into content creation, into building his business. And I think that that's a real testament. I mean, all these guys on this list share that same thing.
Yeah.
But in particular, cutting for shows and, you know, trying to kind of peak your cognitive abilities for content creation, for podcasts, for PhD work or whatever he's doing next, reading research, like, it takes a lot of effort there. And I think that he's a unique character to be able to get that across.
Yeah. You know what I took away from him as well is that he's like, he's no bullshit when he comes to the truth for people that are natural.
Right.
What he's talking about, he's like, you know, when you're natural, he's like, oh, I gained pretty much 90% of the muscle I was ever going to gain in like my first 18 months of training, two years. And he's like, after the first 2 years where I didn't even know that much of what I was doing in the gym, he's like, I basically just gained like a few grams each year. Like, it's almost nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been at it for like nearly a decade since that point. So I just appreciate that when you get someone that obviously like knows a lot about performance enhancing drugs, chooses not to do it themselves, and then just shares like, oh, here's the reality of how it's going to be for you if you never go down that path. It's going to be 90% of the gains in the first 18 months, 2 years, and then very little after that, hard fought, really small wins on a year-to-year basis, which like you just don't hear either from guys that just lie about their drug use or they just don't tell you exactly how it is.
So if you were to guess, why do you think people don't really say how it is like Eric does? Do you think it's because it's discouraging people?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't sell very well.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, because also he's like, oh, you know, your genetics, you might have already hit it.
Right.
You know, he's just like a bit more
matter of fact. So stop training.
Yeah, he's like a bit more matter of fact. He's a bit more like, just enjoy the journey and don't expect dramatic changes if you don't want to go down that path.
Yeah.
Whereas other people, like, yeah, just don't tell you, I guess, to hold on to hope or just to keep selling shit.
Yeah, there's not really many natural bodybuilders that are extremely popular with their information.
No.
Most people are like, well, you're natural, I'm going to move on to someone that's enhanced.
Yeah.
And they're not very popular, you know. Not many people know many natural bodybuilders.
Mm.
A lot of people claim natural. It's not necessarily true, but Eric is holding down the fort for the natties. So last person we got here is Max L. Hag. So personal story with Max L. Hag. He actually almost became my CrossFit individual programming coach a while ago. He gave me his second in charge because he was very hard to get a hold of just because he was in such high demand. He's the coach for you CrossFit people out there, Noah Olsen and Travis Mayer, maybe a few other people at this point. We haven't kept as up to date with him. But Max, I think for a long time was in the shadows. He was kind of the second in charge to so many other great coaches in so many different industries. And then when he decided to start his business, Training Think Tank, and step out on his own, he really got an opportunity to show the world through education, through all his online programs, through his coaches, through his athletes, just how smart this guy is. Like, having worked with him, you know, and in person and met him and spent time with him, you realize he's just like a boy genius.
Yeah.
And he's just applied it to not aerospace engineering or like building a tech company or electric cars. He's just applied it to exercise programming. And he thinks about it on that level, you know, to CO2 to O2 levels in the blood. You know, he's the guy that's strapping you in and sticking needles in your muscles and putting all kinds of electrodes on you and then getting you in different zones on the bike or doing different curls, bicep curls to failure or rowing intervals and studying how the body works and doing it. He's basically turned CrossFit and athletic performance into a complete science experiment. And he's been able to get the information across in a way that isn't boring and isn't exciting for coaches and PTs to absorb.
Yeah, so rarely do you get a guy that with an IQ like his, which you got to guess on the higher end towards 200, spend years and dedicated to program design.
Mm.
Like he just has put in years at a high level into, you know, long-term progressions and long-term program design. And then you just see the fruits of that, right? That it's like on another level, which most coaches are honestly, I think, not remotely even close to.
No.
With the level they're putting in, like, not even like, oh, they're a six, he's a seven. It's like, oh, they're a two and he's a nine.
Yeah.
You know, he's on a really high level when it comes to that stuff. And it filters all the way down, I assume, in his business, you know, to his other coaches and whoever you get if you end up working with them. But he puts out his education, stuff like that. And the cool thing is that when we went, you know, we trained with him and with the crew, and like they still train hard. It's not like they go and they're just like, it's a full science experiment show there. Like they train hard and it's still fun to train with him. But in the background, it's just all this science and all this thinking that you don't typically see in the fitness world.
Yeah. No, we love Max. We love the Training Think Tank team. We think they're doing good work. Obviously, the space of CrossFit and competing in CrossFit has shrunk over the years and maybe hasn't got as much attention that I would say he deserves. But when it comes to his team, Training Think Tank, sports performance, athletic performance, they're one of the most effective and one of the best teams, team of coaches that are out there. And we love their work. And I think all the athletes, you know, they obviously love the coaches. They've been with them for a very long time. He's got long-term athletes that don't go anywhere. And it just shows you that he's constantly upgrading his methods, constantly getting better as a coach. Anyone that can retain athletes for that long is doing a fantastic job. So we definitely love Max and the Training Think Tank team. And they were awesome when they came out and they hosted us. He like put us in his place and we stayed in an awesome house and we got to sleep.
He was probably also the sweatiest person we've ever had on the show. I don't know if you remember, but it was like Georgia heat and he was just pouring out from his head during this show. Like to the point where I thought the equipment was going to electrocute him.
Yeah, I do remember now. No, it was good. So that's our list. Hopefully you guys got something out of that list. You should definitely go check all of them out and absorb their content. Follow them on YouTube and Instagram, wherever you can follow them most effectively for you. And if you like this show, if you've got maybe someone else you learned from that you enjoyed, put it down in the comments below. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. And guys, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the next video.